Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. We always like to let you know that if you're new to this and you have never attended one of our Sunday Zoom fellowships, worship services, where you can actually get to watch this video with other Unity folks and listen to the meditation, have discussion, listen to music, and just have some general community around, you know, worship. So you can check your e-newsletter or your weekly update for that Zoom link. And if you do not receive either one of those, you can go to unitycenteroflight.org where you can find that link. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Well, good morning, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop and fully express their spirit, mind, and body. So please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we'll have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, December the 17th. The key word is love, and the phrase is, I feel blessed to share God's steadfast love. As Advent season continues, I give thanks for the steadfast love of God, which dispels the darkness of conflict and loneliness with the light of harmony and togetherness. Love is personal and sacred, human and divine, immediate and immortal. Amid seasonal greetings for joy and peace, I give thanks for the power of love. I am a divine being, bringing the love of God into the world. Through my words and my actions, I am kind and patient, compassionate and empathetic, and encouraging and supportive. As I am blessed by love, I share love's blessings with others. I center myself on the Christ within and go forth as the heart and hands of love in the world. And the scripture reading is taken from 1 John 4:7, and it reads, Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Amen. Now we'll have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So we are in the third week of Advent. We've talked about faith. Last week you talked about peace. And today we're going to talk about love. So we're going to begin by reading the slide for the third week of Advent. Says we're entering into the third week of Advent, which represents love and is symbolized by the baby Jesus. Jesus is a representation of boundless and unconditional love. When we are fully grounded in faith and peace, we are able to extend the experience of love to ourselves, to each other, and to all of God's creation. And it is through the union of wisdom, Joseph, and compassion represented by Mary that the love and light of the Christ can come into full expression in our world. And it is by these means that Christ is indeed born anew in us, and so it is. So we're going to start out by lighting the candle for love. So last week we already lit, as you can see, faith and peace, and now we're going to light love. All right. So typically today, you know, when we talk about the idea that from the perspective of Christian metaphysics, it is our work as true students to raise our consciousness until we can see the Christ being born within the heart, mind, and soul of every one of us. Okay, these are kind of the things I usually say every year. And this is a wonderful and powerful acknowledgement we can use to greet each other this Christmas season. Just imagine saying to each person you encounter, and either saying it out loud or saying it in your mind or in your heart, that the Christ which is born in me greets the Christ which is born in you. As well as thinking, saying, and knowing this for ourselves. So we have to know it for ourselves as well. because I can only perceive the Christ in you from my own awareness of the Christ in me. Only the Christ can perceive the Christ. That's an important statement. So the Christ being the spiritual nucleus that exists in every living person, no matter who they are, or what they believe, or what they may have done. See, our spiritual work is to develop the level of consciousness that can see beyond the who, what, where, and when. And we do this by working to bring all of the thoughts into all of our thoughts into perfect harmony with our Christ center, which is love. Okay. Now, a lot of this talk is going to be from Eric Butterworth's book, Life is for Loving, and also some very unique practical ways to apply or practice being, you know, loving expression is what I'm trying to say. Because typically we hit it metaphysically. I'm going to do a little bit of, you know, talk a little bit about metaphysics and scripture. But then we're going to actually look at some actual practical ways of increasing our ability to love in all of our encounters. Okay. So Eric Butterworth explains in his book, Life is for Loving. He says, love is a foundation of the creative process, the root of the reality of the universe, okay? And the very nature of the infinite power and presence we call God. Okay? So now all things begin with love. Let's say it again. All things begin with love. In Genesis, we read, in the beginning, God. But then John says, God is love. We probably all know that. The word, with a capital W, is love. Thus, paraphrasing John, in the beginning was love, and love was with God, and love is God. And God said, let us make them in our image after our likeness. So this image likeness is a transcendent nature of creative love. So God created us in God's own image. In the image of God, own image, we were created. Okay? Thus it is that we are created in and of love. So no matter how far we may stray from the root of our divine reality, you get that? No matter how far we may stray from the root of our divine reality, meaning forgetting that we are spiritual, and then moving into the circumference of living, you know, the outer world, so the core within us is a divine reality. But when we move out into the circumference of living, sometimes we get away and we forget that. So it's always, you know, true in principle that from the beginning, we are rooted and grounded in the allness of love. And the chief work of our life is to always call to remembrance. I like that. We'll say like that, we need to awaken to. But I like this idea of call into remembrance our true nature, which is created in the image and likeness of God, who is love. And to get on with and the idea that is here is to get on with the business of life, which is love. All right, let me say, to get on with the business of life, which is love. So let me do this, say this last part again and have you actually say it with me. Or, you know, understand what it's saying. It says, no matter how far we may stray from the root of our divine reality, who we really are, into the circumference of living, you know, getting out into the world, it is always true in principle that we are rooted and grounded in the allness of love. The chief work of our life is to always call to remembrance our true nature, which is that we are created in the image and likeness of God, who is love, and it is our work to get on with the business of life, which is for loving. Okay. Now, so as I said, we're going to do some of this metaphysics that we typically do every Sunday, but then we're going to get into some practical ideas about how to make this work. So at the root of our being, at the very base of who we are, the true truth is that we are love. So no matter what else we choose to incorporate into our personality, notice how I say that, no matter what else we choose to incorporate into our personality, or how far we choose to stray into the circumference of our life experiences and away from our true love core, it cannot change the fact that our divine core, we are love. and it is our work to get on with the real business of life, which is loving. Okay? And we can extend this idea into the words of Jesus recorded in Luke 2:49 when he said, "I must be about my Father's business." So this lesson is proposing the idea that our business is to express love in all aspects of our life. And the key word in this last statement is express. Not just talk about love, but actually being an expression of love in our thoughts, words, actions, and deeds. Now, to illustrate this, in Eric Butterworth's book, Life is for Loving, there's a story about a young girl who left home in an effort to survive as a person after years in a home totally devoted to love. Now listen, this is going to sound interesting. She left because she wanted to get away from this home that was totally devoted to love. However, the parents were devotees of a religion that emphasized the power of divine love. It was a subject of most of the family's conversation. However, whenever this young girl was struggling and, needed help and love and compassion from her parents, what her mother would do is give her this pamphlet and say, on divine love. Says, go to your room and read this pamphlet on divine love. That's all that was said. Okay? So the girl said, I got sick and tired of divine love. I wanted somebody to talk lovingly to me, to be kind to me, to be interested in me, to tell me that they love me. My mother seemed incapable of actually expressing love. She said she could only just talk about it. Okay? So just talking about love or just saying I love you with no real love energy behind the statement doesn't inspire loving feelings in others. And it does not inspire loving energy within ourselves. Okay? So we are fortunate when we have people in our lives who love us with an everlasting love, people with whom we have been through thick and thin, as expression goes. And still, the love survives. Okay, Pamela and I are a good example of that. Friendships we have, where we've had them for a long time. One of my friends I talk about a lot, we've been friends for 60 years. All right, and we have been through some trials and tribulations. We've been through thick and thin, but we're still, our love still survives. So this is what we might call tested love. When you survive a whole lot of different things you go through and you're still in this loving relationship, I call that tested love. And this usually takes some time to develop. Tested love just doesn't happen not even over a couple of years. It usually takes a long time. It may entail going through some or many trials and tribulations together. But when the dust settles, if all involved are still standing together in that relationship, the love usually is stronger than ever. Okay? And Eric Butterworth explains, our capacity to love is directly dependent upon our ability to love ourselves with a mature self-love. Okay? Love is not something you get from other people or even from God. That's an interesting statement. Love is not something you get from other people or even from God. As we read in the beginning, we are already created in and of love. And nor is love something we can ever lack. Okay, we read in Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. So love is the reality of our total self, which we can either frustrate or express. Let me say it again. Love is the reality of our total self, which we can either frustrate or we can express. And the Bible verse that supports this is Deuteronomy 30:19. Okay? I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live, which is basically saying in the business of life, in the business of your life, my life, choose love. Okay. Now let's get real by looking at the practical side of this discussion. I think we can safely assume that we have all had encounters where it seemed that love was just not an option, if you know what I'm talking about. Again, we're just, being real here that yes, we talk about love, we go with all these expressions and learn about love, but there's just sometimes when it's just tough to, operate from that perspective. However, I think we all have been exposed to enough metaphysical ideology to understand that love is always an option. No matter what you're going through, love is always an option. So it is more of a matter of whether or not we choose the love option when faced with challenging circumstances. Okay? Now, there's a story of a little 8-year-old in a Pennsylvania orphanage who was shy and considered by all, you know, as being unattractive, and she wasn't treated very well by the orphanage. So she was regarded as a problem by teachers, and the director was seeking some justification to get rid of her. So the orphanage had an ironclad rule that any communication from a child in the institution had to be approved before it could be mailed. So one day the little girl was observed sneaking down to the main gate, where she reached out, and through the bars she tucked a letter into the branch of a low-hanging tree. Now, the director immediately, you know, hurried down to the gate. You know, sure enough, the note was there, clearly visible, which was a clear violation of the rules of the orphanage. So the director pounced upon it, you know, thinking this is what I needed, you know, to finally get rid of this little girl. But when the director tore open the envelope, she read the words written by this little 8-year-old. "To anyone who finds this letter, I want you to know that I love you." See, love is always an option. It's a matter of whether or not we're spiritually awake enough to choose it, especially in very difficult or challenging situations. So when we are able to behold the Christ in ourselves and others, it helps us to chip away at the crystallized race-conscious thought that would have us judge first before we give ourselves a chance to see the good in each other. And this is a challenge for us, that being to reach a state of consciousness that looks for the good that exists in all appearances. Now, as one psychotherapist put it, he said, when we're able to look beyond the challenging people and appearances and behold that which we truly are, we recognize that our essence is interwoven with the divine and that we exist as one of its expressions. Okay? Let me say again, we are interwoven into the fabric of God and exist as God's expression. See, that's another elegant way of expressing what we've always said. We are God expressing. You are God expressing. I am God expressing. And we know that God is love, and we are the instruments through which God's love is expressed. So, we have heard this many times before. You know, we're always hearing that. You know, we mostly keep hearing this idea that we're God expressing, we're the instrument through which God expresses, and we can hear it and hear it and hear it, but we will probably hear it until we actually get it. I mean, really get it. But the challenge for us is not only getting it, but also being able to live it by continuously expressing it whenever we feel spiritually strong enough to do so. And as we always remind ourselves, walking the spiritual path is no joke. Just like changing our consciousness, our mindset from ego mind to Christ mind is no easy task. So we could use a lot of spiritual metaphysical language to talk about how to express love in the many challenges and situations in our lives. But as I said in the beginning, I want this to be more practical exploration. And yes, practical sometimes can be boring, but practical is doable, whereas metaphysics can be more interesting, but often leaves you thinking, as I said, no, wait, what? You know, I mean, what is that supposed to mean? How am I supposed to use that in my life? So if you hear, when we hear practical applications, I think it is easier for us to grasp and possibly do than when we hear metaphysical interpretations. So we're going to look at 10 practical ways to express love. Okay, when interacting with others. Now, these next 10 slides, we're going to just go through these slides, and I want to see if I can put myself in the slide. But anyway, I'll try and see what happens. But the next 10 slides actually has all the information. It has the 10 methods for being able to express love when interacting with others, and it has Bible verses that match it, and it has some narrative. Okay, so this way you'll be able to study this After watching, hearing this, and you want to go back and study it some more, you have all the information available to you. Okay, so let me bring up the first slide, and let me just see if I can. Whoop, that didn't work. There I am. Okay, all right. So, matter of fact, let me take that off because you won't be able to see the whole slide. Okay, so the first method is listen without interruption, okay? This is the work. This is the first method when you're dealing with people, is to listen without interrupting, okay? And the scripture is Proverbs 18:13 says, spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish, okay? That's the scripture. And then it goes on to say, interrupting is a mechanism many use to keep control of the conversation. Now, think about that, okay? Think about yourself or think about others, you know, who you're talking or whatever, or you're listening, and you just want to interrupt because really you're listening more to what's going on in your head than you're listening to the person, okay? So God has not called us to control. God has called us to love. We're seeking peace and resolution with those we communicate with. Therefore, be patient and listen to the full matter. Lay aside any pride and work together on the issue instead of trying to win the debate. And this last line actually comes from what I used to say in a salesmanship class. Learn to listen with your heart and not with your ears. Okay? So the next one, go ahead. Okay. Is speak without accusing. All right? So scripture... the scripture for this, speak without accusing, okay? Sometimes we accuse, it's a voice intonation. It's an intonation in your voice that sounds like you're accusing, okay? So the scripture is James 1:19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Don't accuse and or shame. Instead, forgive, rebuild trust, and move on. Again, practical application. Okay, so the next one is give generously. Scripture, Proverbs 21:26. Some people are always trying to get more than they are willing to give, but the godly love to give. So it says God's nature is giving. It is our divine commission to reflect God's generosity. Many times we're tempted to withhold from others because we fear they will take advantage of us. However, perfect love expels all fear. All right, let me say that again. Perfect love expels all fear. And in order to really love, we must first trust. And instead of spending time worrying about a person's motive, give because that is who you are. Refuse to allow fear to rob you of your joy of giving. A giving heart is a greater treasure than any material thing here on earth. Okay. And then you can see on the bottom, I got these 10 from, it's called Mount Hope Church. And then you can see the link on the bottom if you want to see more about this. And they're very fundamentalist, so I had to take a lot of the fundamentalist language out of it to make it match, how we look at things. So this next one, the fourth one is pray without ceasing. All right. Now, scripture, Galatians 1:9. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of God's will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Okay? So when you're interacting with others, stay open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth. Okay? So this next one, number 5, is answer without arguing. Scripture, Proverbs 1:17. Now, listen, I like this. If a bird sees a trap being set, it knows to stay away, all right? So an argumentative person is a trap that most people will quickly learn to avoid. Be mindful of your tone and your motive. If you're upset, that is okay. But before you speak, be wise and take time to make sure your heart is in the right place and your motive is rooted in love. Agree to take some time to pray, to cool off, and recalculate your approach to how your loving Savior, Lord, would have you to respond. Excuse me. Okay. So, again, and we've talked about that in different ways. You know, think before you talk. So, number 6 is share without pretending. So the scripture is Ephesians 4:15. Instead, we will lovingly follow the truth at all times, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, and so become more and more in every way like Christ. Okay? So speaking the truth in love, speaking the truth in love means that we should not be afraid to say what needs to be said when motivated by love and resolution. So it's not about keeping it all bottled up inside if you need to share something honestly with somebody. But you want to speak the truth in love, right? And we should not be afraid to say what we need to say, but we have to be motivated by love and resolution. So share and speak without pretending. Be real, be genuine, and set aside any masks that hide who you really are and how you really feel. All right? So the next one, enjoy without complaining. Scriptures, Philippians 2:14. Do all things without complaining and arguing. Complaining is the ugly offspring of pride and unbelief. Stay grateful. Look for the good. Celebrate the small things and stay faith-filled and positive. It has been said, I like this, to complain and compete is to live in defeat. So, number 8, trust without wavering. Okay? So, Scripture, 1 Corinthians 13:7, love never gives up. Love never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Trust is a big part of love. Trust is also established in the patience and waiting for love to do what love will do, if given the proper time and effort. So don't give up. In other words, don't give up on love. All right? So number 9 is forgive without punishing. Oh, this is a good one. Forgive without punishing. Colossians 3:13. Make allowances for each other's faults. Boy, do we need to do that. And forgive anyone who offends you. Might be challenging, okay? But it's the road that we're trying to travel, the living the business of love, okay? And remember the Lord Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. In Micah 7:19, we read how God gives us this beautiful picture, listeners, of casting our transgressions into the depths of the sea. So if you read that scripture, you'll understand more about what that means. So it gives us a beautiful picture of casting our transgressions, all the things we might be lamenting in our minds, oh, I wish I hadn't done that, wish I hadn't done this, you know. As far as God is concerned, all of that's thrown into the depths of the sea. And so we'll remember them no more. God does not remember them. We don't remember them. Okay. If that is how God forgave our mistakes, then let us not continue to punish people for their past errors by bringing them up over and over again. Okay. Forgive to the utmost, because that is what Jesus did for you. Okay. And then the last one, promise without forgetting. This is a very unique one. Scripture, Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Okay? Now, what that means is a promise plants hope because of the inherent guarantee found in our words. So when you promise somebody something, okay, you're planting hope. Right? There's an inherent guarantee in your words. This, I'm going to do this for you, or I will change the way I do this. Whatever it is that you're promising, okay, you are giving a guarantee. That hope gives life to all sorts of plans, actions, and good things. That's what people are thinking. Wow, this is going to be good. You know, we're not going to have these kind of arguments anymore, where, you know, things are going to, whatever it's going to be, okay? However, if we continue to violate or forget our word, our promise, we will eventually trample all over hope and it becomes, and its outcomes, okay? So the result of breaking promises is the rotten feeling of disappointment and the eroded integrity and character of the person who broke their promise. So in making promises, ensure that it's aligned with your true desires. Don't make a promise that you don't think you're going to keep. And then be responsible to uphold your word without forgetting and without wavering. The nature of a promise is made valid by its guarantee. Okay? So, you know, these 10 practical ways. Got through that pretty quickly. But you know, now you can go back and study those. I think there is so much value in it. I was telling Pam last night, and she, of course, hadn't heard this talk or seen the talk. You know, she was saying, well, what are some of them? I said, well, I'll share them with you tomorrow because there's some really good stuff in those 10 ways to make love work. So these 10 practical, you know, they're simple, they're understandable, they're not beyond our ability to grasp them. However, I do understand there are times when we are in challenging communications with others where some of these just do not seem practical, okay? Our mind is just not going to let go of whatever it's feeling about what it's encountering. And I think at this stage in our spiritual journey, for all of us who are listening, we've been on this spiritual journey for a long time, we can agree that they are possible. You know, the 10 things we just went over, they are possible, but might not seem or feel practical depending on the circumstance, okay? So to help us work with these concepts, I'm going to end with these words of advice from Eric Butterworth on how to make these practical ways of love possible and why we need to make these ways possible. Okay? So he says, in all human relations, it is good to begin with the principle that people are innately wonderful, beautiful, good, and full of love. Just start out with that premise. It may be hard to see at first, for they may not see it in themselves. But people are real even beyond their superficiality. You know, right? In other words, the real love is deep within us. Okay? With practice, you will find that you can look through them instead of at them. And you will salute the divinity within them and celebrate love as the one great reality in which you both live and move and have your being. Why do you want to take the trouble to do this? Because you live in the world. We live in the world. And because your own peace of mind and health of soul are totally dependent upon the relationships you establish with the world out there. So hopefully this, you know, just gave us some more thought about the practicality of how to move in this way of using being in a state of love in all things we do. So amen to, you know, that. And right now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
Okay, Unity family, let's take a deep breath in and exhale fully. Pay attention to the inflow and the outflow as you breathe in again and release the breath. Allow your breath to center your body in this present moment. You may gently close your eyes or take a downward gaze during the next few moments. I ask you now to make a connection with your heart center. This is the symbolic center of love that is the true nature of who we all are. Love is the great harmonizer and presence that stands under all and flows through everything and everyone and is all. At a time when many of us are seeking peace, understanding, and justice in the world, let us know this truth. It begins with us. We allow the divine love that we are to first permeate in, through, and as us. We love ourselves fully so that we may love others fully and see the divine love in all. So for a moment, silently affirm to yourself, I am love. I am love. I am love. And now please take the following words as your very own. Gracious Spirit within me, from this place of deep truth and knowing that the love that is God, that is the Christ consciousness of who I am, that is my inherent place of being, guides and directs my thoughts, my words, and my actions. I allow this to be my anchor, to which I return in every moment of every day. I am love. Let us prepare for entering into that secret place of the Most High, our place of peace, love, joy, and faith. As we enter through that door, we feel the love of God flow over, around, and through us. We take a seat. And as we do, we know we are in the right place. Our body feels calm, our minds are relaxed, and we are home. We pause for a moment to be in the silence. Holy Spirit, we are channels of your love to the world. We step forth this day filled with your teachings of how to treat our fellow human beings and ourselves. We are to love ourselves fully so we may love others fully, to see the divine in all. In the name and nature of our elder brother and Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, we give thanks. And so it is and forever shall be. Amen. When you are ready, come back to join us.
Nice meditation, Dad.
Thank you. Nice, that's a message. That's a lot of slides to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be good to have that discussion in the Zoom fellowship. Mm-hmm. All right, this is a time we just open our hearts and minds and recognize the blessings that are in our lives. Even though we all may have some challenges going on, there's always blessings. And so we want to just acknowledge and be thankful for those blessings. So let's just do our prosperity prayer together.
Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am. All that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me.
Amen.
Amen.
And many of you may have received a letter from me explaining where we are financially in the church. And, you know, we very rarely talk about this, but it was necessary to let you know that the Unity Center of Light, your spiritual home, is in need of your offerings. I know there's many of you who are steady givers. You actually this automatic every month, and that's fantastic. We appreciate all that. Appreciate that. But for those of you who are benefiting from Unity Center of Light and feel that you really want to support your spiritual home, your spiritual center, we're open to that, and we ask you to just be in prayer and check in your heart into what's the right thing that you can give. So with that in mind, let's hold our offerings in our hand, in our mind, in our spirit, and do our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. All right, and you have light notes,
yes. So this coming Wednesday, we'll have the second discussion, or the third discussion, I'm not quite sure, from the Advent Booklet discussion series based on the Advent Booklet called The Sweetest Christmas, and Kathleen Bailey will be facilitating, so please check your updates and your e-newsletters for the Zoom link. It is time once again to support our Bowie Food Pantry for our Bowie families for the Christmas holidays. They are now accepting monetary donations for grocery card gift cards. The food pantry can buy the cards in bulk, which makes it less expensive. So the due date for all monies to be into the office is today. So if you haven't supported, you can call Patty or you can, yes, call Patty. That would be the best way to do that and let her know what you would like to give for that project. On December the 24th, our Christmas service will be at 10:30 a.m. It is live and also on Zoom. So you might gain a new perspective about the symbolic meaning of this joyous time of the year. So do, oh, I'm sorry, it's not live. It's all on Zoom. It's all on Zoom. The Zoom link is the same as for all the Sunday services, okay? On September the 31st, we will have our in-person and Zoom service at 10:30 a.m. This is our burning bowl service. You will have the opportunity to burn up all negative thinking and regrets of the past. We ask you to come early so you may write your letters to God for a new you in 2024. At this service, we'll be giving away 2024 Unity calendars, and you may also pick up your white stone for the January 14th white stone service. Please remember that there are no in-person services in January. And that concludes our announcements.
Okay, so it is
time to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. Together,
I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful. And now right into our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. Well, it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. And we hope you got something out of the lesson and go back and study those slides. Always remember that, you know, if you ever want to be in fellowship with others, you know, when we do these slides and messages like this, we usually have discussion after the message of meditation. And, you know, you can ask questions and, you know, just get more insight into what we're talking about. But other than that, have a wonderful week, and we will see next week is the 24th, right?
Yes.
Christmas Eve. You know, in Zoom.
Christmas Eve, in Zoom, right.
And then the 31st, New Year's Eve, is in person.
In person, yes.
Right.
At 10:30.
Right. Yeah, in the morning. All right.
Have a good week.
Bye-bye.